Hello there, Podcast Land. This episode of the Behind the Barricade podcast is sponsored by Podcast Texts. Podcasters, do you want to expand your podcast reach to 360 million, maybe even more people? Do you want to make your podcast searchable on Google, Yahoo, even Ask Jeeves? Then look no further than Podcast Texts. You can increase your podcast reach exponentially. You can also reach the deaf and hearing impaired. They can read your podcast. It's unbelievable the amount of ways Podcast Text can help you. Maybe you have a few links you'd like to include. Not a problem. You can include them thanks to Podcast Texts. Seem too good to be true? Visit PodcastTexts.com to create a more dynamic user experience for your audience today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast, and here are your hosts, John O'Connor and Daniel Tao.
Hello and welcome to the Behind the Barricade podcast. My name is John O'Connor. Like always, I'm with Daniel Tao, and we have reached episode number 52 of the podcast. Today, we are joined by probably one of the best up-and-coming rock bands out there today. And that band is Red Sun Rising. I talk with Pat, the drummer, about a whole bunch of topics, including the first week of football, their new-ish album, well, their album that came out last year, Everything Zeal, get it in stores now, and their current tour with Three Doors Down and Pop Evil. So this was a great hang. Pat is one hell of a guy, and I actually consider him a friend after our interview. So anyways, thank you so much for liking us on Facebook, following us on Twitter, the whole nine yards. Thank you guys so much for all that you're doing. We have a website coming out. I don't even know, and we're having so many difficulties with that. If you know a graphic designer, let us know. We'll throw you a couple bucks to create the best new website out there. That's behindthecade.com. You could go over there and take a look at what we're working with, and hopefully you have some ideas on how to improve it. So, anyways, that's about it for me. Episode 52. Pat from Red Sun Rising. Let's do this. Casino, where you went last night?
Caesars at in Atlantic City.
Okay.
It was a good time, man.
AC is basically, if you're not on that boardwalk area, you're in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary as shit.
I can see that. I saw a few questionable characters in the casino,
absolutely.
But it's not the worst I've seen before, obviously.
Yeah, around a casino area.
Yeah, that's to be expected.
I think, like, maybe further down south, like one of those little Mississippi-type casinos, I'm sure they have even sketchier areas.
I've seen it, man.
So, we are here in Red Bank, New Jersey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's go to Red Bank. At the Count Basie Theater, which
yep.
is actually pretty nice. Old as shit.
I'm digging the view, yeah. Apparently, there's a good amount of history here, and it's a sold-out show tonight, so pretty excited to play, man.
Again, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
That has nothing to do with the other two bands playing.
No, it's all us. We sold it out.
God damn right, man. Oh, shit. So, happy first day of football, or technically mm-hmm. first weekend of football.
Of course, man. We're all huge NFL followers, so
nice.
Most of the guys are Browns fans, unfortunately.
Okay. And you are?
I'm a Panthers fan.
All right.
And my guitarist is a Buffalo Bills fan, but...
Okay, you're a little all over the place.
A little spread out, but Three to five of us are Browns fans.
So why the Panthers?
I actually lived in Charlotte for about 10 years.
So oh, shit. Okay.
When I really got into football, I started actually going to games, and that's kind of when I started to actually watch every game and really follow a team hardcore.
Yeah.
So before then, I was like a Giants fan just because I lived in New York for a while. So.
Okay. Where? Upstate New York?
I grew up in Albany, yeah.
Okay, Albany. All right.
Yep.
Wow, you knew weren't a Bills fan.
Nope.
Okay.
The New York Giants practice at the college like down the street from my house, so you could actually go for free and just watch them practice.
Oh, yeah. That's going just back a little bit.
I'm not sure if they do that still, but...
Well, they opened up in the little Giants Stadium area. They mm-hmm. opened up a place, I think it's called like the Timex Performance Center.
Mm.
And state-of-the-art, has an outdoor field, has an indoor field.
Sounds awesome.
Like, do you remember back in the day, have you ever been to the Giants Stadium area?
Of course.
Yeah. Do you remember the big-ass bubble?
Yep.
Yeah. That's no longer there.
That's gone.
That is gone.
That's crazy. I'm definitely out of the loop with the Giants.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. You have your own career going on. You can't just be following the Giants or the Panthers or whoever else.
Although I am betting on the Giants today. We have a little, there's like a tour weekly football pool.
Okay.
So you just pick the winners for every game.
Spreads or no spreads?
No spreads.
Oh, straight up.
And everybody, you know, whoever wins the week gets the whole pot. So
okay.
We do like 4 or 5 weeks of that on this tour, which would be a lot of fun. It's kind of a good way to, you know, mingle with everybody and get to know everybody.
And it's better than the dice games I hear.
Yeah, those are sketchy too.
Yeah, those are.
We don't mess with dice.
No.
We're keeping it classy.
The random poker games like you would have on like Warped Tour or like a tour like that.
It sounds fun.
Yeah, man. It does sound like a lot of fun depending on who you play with. Because I know there's some people in bands that are some degenerate-ass gamblers.
Yes, and our tour manager is a shyster. He's I would never want to play him in poker. So.
Oh, no.
He's good.
Oh, he's good. Okay.
Yeah,
he's not a cheater.
He doesn't cheat, but he's got a good poker face, and I don't.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to cheat at poker these days.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Look at the cards? You know.
I guess you could have a few aces in your pocket.
That, too. Or you could have the little mirror underneath the table, and you
there's that. There's also that.
Yeah.
There's a few tricks.
There are a lot of tricks there. So you were, what, a month in on this tour?
Not really. I think this is our 11th show of the tour. So we had a 2-week break. We did some songwriting. And then I want to say we started probably about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
A little over 2 weeks. And this is our longest tour to date because we're going to be out until mid-December. When we finish up with Three Doors Down, we go straight to the West Coast with Seven Dust.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And then we fly straight out to Paris, France, and start our first European tour.
First European tour. Is it a headliner or are you opening for something?
We're opening for Skillet on that
tour.
Oh,
my gosh, Jesus.
They're kick-ass, man. We got to meet them at a festival a few weeks ago. And super nice.
Wow.
Great people, and we're just excited to be overseas, of course. None of us have even visited over, you know.
Really? Wow.
We haven't been over the pond, so it's going to be our first time as a band and as tourists as well. So
nice. What's the reception been like for this tour so far?
For this tour, the Three Doors Down tour?
Yeah.
It's been great, man. It's been a little different because it's, you know, all the venues are theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And we're used to more of the sweaty, you know, sold-out, crazy club shows.
Oh,
where
yeah.
Everybody's, not moshing, but everybody's, you know, on top of each other. So it's a little more chill.
Uh-huh.
So that's been an adjustment. But it's awesome to play these beautiful theaters, a lot of historic theaters. And sounds amazing and you know, state-of-the-art sound every night.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
Which you would think, like, you know, they would have the theaters, but, you know, they promote you playing in the theater and they don't, like, update the sound or anything, give that little vintage thing, vintage look, vintage sound, but...
Yeah, I'm glad it doesn't sound too vintage. You don't want it to be like outdated PA system.
Oh, yeah, that would suck.
But...
I'm sure you played a few places with that.
Oh, we've played some questionable venues, trust me. Especially back in the old days.
God, and you've been around for what, like 10 years now, right?
Yeah, the band, I mean, I've only been around for about a year and a half.
Okay.
Mike and Ryan founded the band, and I think in 2007, so there's been various lineup changes like every band has, especially as things get more serious. It's hard to find people that are 100% committed and willing to give up everything to pursue this. But
and now have you given up everything, or do you have a side job or anything?
No, man, I'm all in.
God.
We don't have a... We're gone too much. I feel like we probably toured, when all is said and done, probably would have toured 9 or 10 months out of this year.
Jesus.
Out of 12. So it's our full-time job.
Wow.
It's been a lot of fun, but it's I'm learning now that we're touring this much how much work it actually is. And
It
used to all be great. Like, everything's fun. This is amazing. And now you start to learn that there's certain things about touring that kind of suck.
Like what, for example?
Just lack of sleep, lack of privacy.
Yeah.
Thankfully, on this tour, catering has been amazing, so I've been eating healthy. But you know, it's hard to be away from family and friends and kind of get disconnected from people in a lot of ways when you're, our hours are crazy. Everybody wants to talk during the day and we're busy all day and yeah. until 3 a.m. every night. So, but it's definitely a lifestyle adjustment, but we love it. Just yeah. has, there's certain days like, man, I would just like today, this first weekend of football, I would love to be on my couch with some chicken wings and whatever yeah, else I yeah. can put, throw
Got
together.
The red zone on.
All I literally want to watch football all day today, so I might get my iPad. I have an iPad on stage, and we'll get a game going. While
there you go.
Going on.
I mean, you know these songs like fucking just, like the back of your head. Yeah.
Yeah. If my head's turned, that's why.
I will definitely be looking for that.
That's sweet. Man.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of people think that touring is just oh yeah, you know, we're sleeping all day, partying all night, but like it is a business at the end of the day, yeah, and a lot of people don't realize that
you can't do that, and I. You learn the hard way quickly that it'll get burned out pretty fast too. I mean, I get burnt out even if you don't drink or if you're super healthy, it's still an exhausting lifestyle.
It is.
So,
what do you sleep like? Maybe like 2 or 3 hours a night, and then you just have to keep doing it over and over.
I'd say
again,
it's an average of 5 hours.
Okay.
I haven't gotten 8 hours in a while, but I've kind of learned to function on 5 or 6 hours of sleep and feel pretty normal. God. It's all about tricking your brain. Like, if you think about how tired you are, you're gonna be more tired. If you just suck it up and go with the flow.
That's a good way to think about things, especially like when you have like the time changes, especially you going out west for with seven dust. That's gonna fuck up
your
sleep pattern. And then you know, another basically 8 hours ahead, I believe, for France.
Something crazy. Yeah, we do. We also do Russia too. We have like 8 shows in Russia.
Oh my god,
this is gonna be
wood skillet as well, or
yep. We go to just 9 or 10 countries. We're going through.
Wow.
Germany, Norway, Russia. Czech Republic, there's a whole bunch of them. So
wow, any of them sticking out? You're like, oh my god, I can't believe we're going to this place. Or
I think Russia gives me, you know, that feeling the most, especially because we talk to bands that have toured overseas many times. Like I've never been to Russia. Like a lot of these people, yeah. It's not a common stop for bands to go through. And obviously, Skillet has something going on in that area. I mean, all the biggest shows and the biggest venues are all in Russia. Like we're playing like a 6,000 capacity arena in Moscow. Like
wow.
So all the big shows are. Within that time frame.
But that's the thing with these overseas bands. They come out for their favorite acts. It's not like in the U.S. where you're like, you know what?
Yep.
Football's on today. I'm not going to come out. Next time they come over.
Nobody flakes out there. That's what I heard.
Exactly.
That's a big, you know, we're already getting people tagging us in photos and getting messages. I can't wait to see you in Russia. Like, just people are just already doing their homework. And I'm sure they know, obviously know Skillet already, but they're actually, clearly they're looking up our band. Listening to our music and doing their homework, which is nice, because a lot of people don't do that. So
that's crazy. Like if you think about maybe 10 years ago, where you basically had MySpace, and like you really weren't that connected out, you know, overseas.
Not
and
at
you
all.
Just you had to pray you were on a good label. You had to pray that, you know, a bigger band would take you over. But now, I mean, like if you're a YouTube phenomenon, you could basically sell out that same theater or arena in Russia that you're playing.
Sure, you never know. It happens, man.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
Especially just like going with those YouTube acts, where you're like, you know, going back 10 years ago, like YouTube was fairly new.
Yeah.
You didn't really have those, you know, you didn't have, I don't even know exactly what you would call them. I guess YouTubers?
Yeah, there weren't any viral, like, I don't even know the word that I'm thinking of right now. But yeah.
Yeah, there weren't any, like, viral videos or
really
anything.
Nobody was getting famous or getting noticed off YouTube at the start, but now, I mean, you see some of these videos get 1 billion views.
Yeah.
50 million.
And the funniest part, YouTube is still in the red as a company.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think it's a couple million dollars in the red.
That's crazy.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, it's basically the only competition in town. Then you have to have, like, all the servers and shit like that.
Yeah, they have to hold all that content.
Yeah. And you have to make it easy as shit for someone to press one button and have everything
uploaded.
Yeah,
it's gotta be quick.
Yeah. Because, like, what's the average attention span now? Like, 8 seconds or something?
If that.
I mean, at a show, you might get away with a song or two, but, you know, if you don't captivate that audience within your first 2 tracks...
You have to, man.
Yeah. How many songs you playing on this tour?
It's a 30-minute set, so I think it's 6 or 7 songs.
Okay, that's a good amount.
Yep. Every once in a while, whenever Pop Evil isn't on a show, there's been a couple shows that it's just us and Three Doors Down.
Yeah,
we'll get a 45-minute set of that.
Oh wow.
And add two or three more songs. But
so what do you like as a drummer? Do you like the 30-minute tracks more than the 45-minute shows, or
I prefer a longer show because it takes you a couple songs to really feel comfortable on stage and get into it and get used to the way the room sounds. And once you really start vibing and gelling, it's already, the show's over. So 45 minutes to an hour is like my ideal set length. But
wow. Hey, dude.
Hey, you know?
Why not, man?
But there's something fun about coming out and smashing a 30-minute set and just giving it all you got and knocking them dead.
Hey, and I'm guessing you're a band that does it night after night.
We try our best, man.
You don't fucking, like, dial it in or anything?
What do you mean by dial it in? Dial it in.
What? No, not dialed in. Dial it in. Basically saying, okay, we're playing shows, all right, we're done, goodbye.
Yeah, and we're definitely not on autopilot.
Yes.
We see a lot of bands that are on autopilot.
Yeah. And it's pretty crazy to see that, too. Mm-hmm. Like, you look at a band, like, for example, what's a good band that's... I don't want to say, like, Goes Through the Motions and Burn a Lot of Bridges here.
Yeah.
But, like, you see, like, a headlining set where people are paying, like, hundreds to $200 just to come out, and, you know, it's the same exact things. They know the exact same choreography.
Yeah.
Like, it's big in the pop world, but...
Well, I think... That's one thing I learned is the general public doesn't usually pick up on that stuff a lot of the time. Like, now that I've been touring with a lot of my favorite bands and have done all these support tours, you'll see that there's a lot of this... A lot of things that happen night after night, the same, you know, the vocalist will say the same thing to the crowd at the same section. And some bands are insane with it. But I saw Puddle of Mud a few years ago. One of the stage techs knew when to light a cigarette so the singer could come over and take a hit of the cigarette. Like, he literally, you know, real quick.
Wow.
In between, like, not even after the song, there'd be a part of the song where it'd be an instrumental break and the singer would come over and take a few puffs and come back.
Holy shit.
So everything's choreographed, but we try to keep it natural, and every show's a little bit different.
Yeah. Hey.
Try to keep it fun.
You do. And plus, it's usually, what, the 6-7 songs, like the same ones over and over again, too?
Yeah, we don't really change the set up much, but it's pretty much the same set every night. Mm.
Does that ever get boring to you, or?
No, not really. It's kind of fun to really lock in those 6 songs and play them, like, you know, really well. And after you play those songs every night for, you know, we've been touring this album for a year and a half or so. And it's like, it's just fun to be able to play that effectively and just feel that good about your playing.
Yeah. And that album is Polyester Zeal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I read it was number 7 on the Heat Seekers on Billboard charts.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. I think it was number 7. You were also, I think, 141 on the top 200.
I'll take that.
Which is pretty good. I mean, you're, like, in the same ranks as, like, Rihanna or like, you know, maybe 3 doors down. Fuck
yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. How's the reception been so far for that album? Like, a lot of people have been...
It's been amazing, man. It keeps growing, and it's kind of the point now where people sing, you know, my singer Michael throw mm-hmm. the vocal, or throw the mic out in the crowd, and people sing. They sing their words back.
Wow.
Which is still new to us, and it's getting louder and louder, and people are picking up on it, and it's nice to see all the work that we're doing touring out there on the road. You know, it's paying off.
Yeah.
People are responding, and it's exciting for us. We feed off that energy, and it keeps us going.
It's got to be still a surreal feeling. Like, you remember writing these songs, and you're like, maybe this one, maybe it'll be doing good. And the next thing you know, it's like your number one hit, you know?
You never know. And that's kind of what happened with The Other Side. That was our first single, and they just wanted to test the waters and just throw it out there. That wasn't, in their opinion, the strongest song, the strongest single. And they just, you know, just wanted to put that out there, and it actually went to number one. Just wasn't expected at all.
I don't know. It's basically, it goes back to that saying where the people that want to be famous do nothing, and the people that, you know, do want fame somehow and try so hard to get famous get nowhere.
Yeah, of course. I think there's something to be said about being authentic and just being yourself, and that's, you know, before I joined this band, the way that I actually met these guys, my old band was touring through Ohio, and we met them. Mike and Ryan were working at Guitar Center in Akron, Ohio. And we met them and ended up doing some show trades and stuff. And the one thing, you know, that I learned from Red Sun Rising was, like, the band that I was in at the time was always trying to change our sound. Like, let's try this now. This, you know, we should go this direction. And Red Sun Rising has always had, as long as I've known those guys, and you can go back to their albums from 6 years ago, the independent records, the sound, I mean, it changes a little bit, but it's always been them. Like, they've always had that dialed in and not try to be somebody you're not, just to... climb the charts or to get signed or to get noticed. Like, I think just being authentic is the way to go. And if there's anything I could advise unsigned bands to do, it'd be to find find that instead of trying to always do something or do the same thing that everybody does.
Yeah.
Dress differently, make your music original, mix it up a little bit, take risks.
Yeah. What do you think about bands that have, like, certain gimmicks where they're, like, one album would be, like, extremely heavy metal, the next thing you know it's, like, alternative rock and... band like maybe Bring Me the Horizon, I don't know if you're familiar with
them.
But they went from, like, deathcore to, alternative rock in a matter of, like, three albums.
Yeah, and that's because they're making more money and they're reaching a broader audience. Mm. That doesn't really bother me. I can see how bands do that, and even bands, like, you look at Shinedown, like... their music has gotten more and more alternative and more like Imagine Dragons, I would say, like, whereas their first record was a slammer. So, that does happen, but when I think of gimmicks, I think of, bands that, like, dress up and wear makeup or...
like Kiss and...
And, when it's tastefully done, I like that. There's actually a band that's on our management called Avatar.
I know Avatar, yeah.
Yep, and they have the whole, face paint and all, and the costumes, and they really pull it off. It's like a freak show carnival theme, and...
yeah, especially the lead singer looks exactly like a room.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. I dig that, but there's some bands that are over the top with it or cheesy. But fans eat it up, and I guess the most important thing is, are the fans digesting it?
Yeah. But you could tell, like, bands that have longevity and bands that don't.
Right away. Yeah, for sure, man.
So, let's see. You're on the tour with Seven Dust coming up. On this tour right now, do you remember any shows, like, maybe in the past that you're like, oh god, like, it sticks out for you, like, being memorable but in, like, a bad way?
In a bad way?
Cause a lot of people ask, like, yeah, you remember your best show of the tour? Yeah, I remember it was back in Detroit, and we rocked the stage, and some girl showed me her tits, and
I'm trying to think of some rough shows. I mean I know we've had them. We've never really had a disastrous show, knock on wood. But,
until Red Bank, New Jersey.
Yeah, until Red Bank, New Jersey. Nothing really. I mean, there was one time, we have these custom-built stage risers now. Like, I have a drum riser. And most bands have stairs for theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have that luxury. So there's been a few nights that I would jump back on. I mean, it's probably about this high. It's pretty high. It's probably 4 feet in the air, 3 feet in the air. And there's been a couple times that I got close to missing it or almost falling off. And I know that my guitarist, Ryan, has face planted on the riser one.
Oh, my God.
At some point. And he had to walk off stage and change guitars out because he fell on his guitar, went out of tune. I really can't think of any, like, stories that would be good that are disastrous and funny. Like,
no one threw, like, a beer on stage or...
We had a fan throw a nice cold... unopened beer to Mike on stage.
Okay, that's positive.
Which is a nice gesture, and I wouldn't consider that a nightmare. I think that was a nice move.
It's actually more memorable.
Yeah. He didn't throw me one, but...
bastards. Maybe you couldn't reach. Maybe see, you're far away in the back.
Yeah. His range.
He might be in the mezzanine. Like.
Yeah, you never know.
He's not Cam Newton over here.
No. Nice.
Say a little callback. Yeah,
gotta bring the NFL into it. I think we're doing a podcast with ESPN on Thursday, too.
Holy shit, wow, that's awesome.
I don't
really
know what the deal with that is, but we'll be talking football.
Nice, man. Nice. Are they playing your music on, like, SportsCenter or anything?
No, we don't have any placements on ESPN yet, but hopefully this will open up some doors just to go in there and meet the guys, and that's something that, we'd all love to see.
So you're actually going up to Bristol?
Yeah, actually we are, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not New York City.
Actually, Connecticut, which is, I think Bristol might be, like, 45 minutes from New York City, but...
cool. Close enough.
In the middle of nowhere.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Well, I mean, if you honestly think about it, it's like you have a sports mecca.
Yeah.
It's usually not in a popular area.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter where it's at.
Yeah. Just like, Canton, Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Out in the middle of nowhere. The Cooperstown out in the middle of nowhere.
It sure is. Save money,
Springfield,
too.
Massachusetts for the Basketball Hall of Fame. Out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Makes sense.
It does, but you don't want to be with other touristy attractions, because look, if ESPN was, well, they did have something called ESPN Zone. I don't know if you remember this one.
I don't.
But it was like a sports bar hangout place, like, owned by ESPN. It was right in the center of Times Square.
Nice.
So it was touristy as it comes.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It probably gets annoying.
Same thing with WWE, which was WWF at the time. They had a little fan zone area.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You a wrestling fan?
No, I mean, when I was a kid, I obviously watched it, like, back when The Undertaker and Mankind and those guys were big.
Yeah.
And I've been to a couple, I don't even know what you call it, a wrestling match.
Yeah.
I've been to a couple matches, like WWE, you know, when I was younger. But I haven't kept up in a while. Is that actually still a thing?
Still a thing.
Actually, you know what? At some of the festivals that we played this year, they had the NXT thing. Or the,
yeah.
So they had the live wrestling. It was pretty cool. So that's my latest wrestling experience with.
Which is good wrestling. Because a lot of wrestling fans consider NXT to be better than the main product.
Yeah, I don't know much about like what's different about it.
But. So basically, NXT is like the minor leagues. Like okay. If you have like Raw and SmackDown or like the major league areas,
sure.
NXT is like the minor league.
Nice, I like it.
Yeah. It only took them God knows how many years to actually come up with it, but
hey whatever
they
works.
Yeah. So anyways, you've played a few festivals. Which ones have you played? Did you play Rock on the Range?
Yep, we did all. You know, Rock on the Range is Danny Wimmer does those. It's a company called DWP.
Okay.
He does. There's like 17 of those festivals. So we did.
Oh, is that the loudest month thing?
Yep, the world's loudest one or
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we did almost every single one of those festivals.
Wow.
So we did at least 13 or 14.
Jesus.
So we had pretty hectic. I guess it was the spring. I don't know. Whatever that was. But they don't usually repeat bands, so we're not going to do them next year. But hopefully, the following year we'll get back in that circuit again. That was a lot of fun, and
those crowds
were massive, man.
Oh yeah,
definitely. Rock on the Range was our biggest crowd to date. So.
Wow, were you on the main stage or like a little side stage?
We weren't. We were on the there's a stage outside of the grounds. So mm-hmm. It was like the second main stage. It was like four stages, but we had an amazing crowd out there, and from what I heard, most bands don't have that crowd out, like
really?
Outside of the main stage area, especially being from Ohio.
A
lot of buzz in Ohio, so I think that helped. But we had a slam packed, probably 20,000 or 30,000 people. People were crowd surfing. It was insane, man.
Yeah, you're not the only one who told me that. I'm friends with his name is Andy. He's the lead singer of a band called Danger Kids.
Nice.
Out in Ohio. He played Rock on the Range, I want to say 2012 or 2013.
Yeah.
He said it was just like a sea of people. Like, he imagined it to be like Guns N' Roses playing like Mexico, and there's like 105,000 people there.
It was comical, man. It reminded me of like an old school Pearl Jam concert. Like, I was looking out and I was distracted by the number of crowd servers.
Oh my God.
So once a few people started doing it, it just caught on and everybody just went nuts.
So it's always those certain couple people that, you know, have to start the pit for everyone.
Somebody's got
to
start it, yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of leaders and a lot of followers, even with crowds.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely, man.
But anyways, let's see. We're 25 minutes in.
Cool.
I think we can wrap this up. Yeah, I know you got a huge show coming up tonight.
Yep, got to get the hands warmed up. I got my practice pad over here. And
oh, that's awesome.
Usually give that about half an hour, and actually there's some NFL on downstairs in the catering area, so I'm going to go watch some football.
Probably Giants, Cowboys.
Probably, yep. I need the Giants today.
Yep, that's
true. For my weekly football pool with these guys, which I'm going to lose this week, but...
Hey.
Doing my best.
There's always next week.
There's always next week.
Look, this is week one of what, 17?
Yeah, but we're only with these guys for another 4 weeks.
Yeah, so
I got to take their money while I can.
That's true.
I need to at least win once. So, see what happens.
Best of luck with you on that. Do you have any plugs? I guess Facebook, Twitter, Polyester Zeal, get it on iTunes.
You got it. All I got to do is search Wrestling Rising. We're everywhere. And if you're listening, come see us at a show. We're doing almost the entire U.S. on this tour. So.
Yep. You got the East Coast going on with... Three Doors Down with Pop Evil, then you head out west with Seven Dust.
Got some Texas dates and stuff like that too on the way out to the West Coast. So,
and then overseas, we do have an audience overseas.
Yep.
So
sure, that's great. Hope to see you guys out there. And it's great to meet you, man.
Awesome, great to meet you too. We usually end with a song by the band I'm interviewing. What song do you want me to play?
Let's check out. You know what? Our current single is Amnesia. Let's throw that out there.
Amnesia?
Amnesia.
Okay, there we go. Amnesia, come at you.
Enjoy.
All right, thanks.